City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast. It's show number 180. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
I'm good.
Happy day after Super Duper Tuesday.
This would be Ash Wednesday, and, too, as well.
And Ash Wednesday. Happy Ash Wednesday. Are you happy Ash Wednesday? What are you? Just you are Ash. You are.
Yeah. I'm not Ashen today, though, because ours is this is the one where we're really far away from the Western.
Yeah.
And so we're really far away. We're like a month and a half.
Yeah.
Or like 5 weeks. And it's a leap year, so it's always strange
that
we get that extra day. But I don't know. Were you I was not surprised by anything that happened on Super Tuesday. Were you?
I really wasn't. I have to say, I find just the political system right now so compelling, so exciting
why
to be
a
journalist at this time, just to kind of talk about it. And because I feel like something's going on for both parties. I feel like something's going on in America. The fact that it's not a clear-cut roadmap after... Yeah. After Super Tuesday for either side, for the, you know,
been under Bush for this long,
that the Republicans have this a third of the pie kind of being divided up by an ultra what I would call ultra conservative, but he's not even as conservative as some members of the party. Southern evangelist with Mike Huckabee, kind of the charming evangelist preacher man, and then you know a third of the pie being taken by this war hero and political stalwart, but fairly liberal for the Republican Party, fairly centrist, and then another third being taken by a corporate mogul, economic maven, Mormon, family values kind of guy. That's just fascinating to me. It's to me kind of the three sides of the Republican Party as I see them, kind of religious, economic, and military. You know, it's like if you could kind
is that
of,
the tripod the Republicans stand on
well,
for you, Amy?
That's for me when I want to just compartmentalize them. And then we have this other side of the Democratic Party that seems to be compartmentalized by this two-headed hybrid that if we could just push them together,
it's a woman
and a black man,
there
like
you
the
go.
Misrepresented social change, education, social issues. Issues, governmental reform through, having our systems work more. Yeah. Who would know better than a black man and a white woman? I mean, or any woman. I mean, I think it's a compelling and fascinating, time. And
very interesting times to me. This is the first. My boss just asked me. Hi, Troy. I think you're listening. He just asked me the other day. He said, "Has there ever been?" An election where there wasn't a Clinton or a Bush on the ballot for you. For me.
You mean to actually check
where,
and vote?
Where I was voting. And there hasn't.
No, there hasn't been.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Because I was, I grew up in Reagan. We were talking about Reagan earlier today. I grew up in Reagan, but I didn't vote in that election.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of scary.
I voted for Dukakis. That was my first vote. So I actually do remember a time before that. But
Dimitri, Dukakis, my peoples,
yeah,
of course.
Your peoples.
My Greek peoples, of course.
But it's interesting that you say that because, Hillary Clinton did this town hall meeting the night before where she took questions from all these different states.
Is that when she was wearing the blue shirt?
I don't remember what she was wearing. She's wearing kind of different colors, everything she does. But
she's jewel tone for sure. Someone changed that.
She definitely is. But she did this town hall where she took a question from here and a question from there from all different states from 18 to 20 states.
Yep.
And that was one of the questions. I am a young person voting in this election. I have never voted in an election that, a Clinton or a Bush. That was the California debate that they were asked her that question at the Kodak Theater when she said it took a Clinton to clean up after the last Bush. It's probably going to take a Clinton to clean up after the next Bush.
Whoa.
Which was the biggest line of the night. I mean, definitely got the most applause of the evening beyond the applause that came. Would you consider a Clinton Obama ticket or an Obama Clinton ticket? Mm-hmm. Because it seems like most of America in your party would support that. And, you know, and that was probably the biggest thunderous applause last week at the...
How fabulous would that be?
It would be so fabulous.
A female president or vice president and a black president or vice president.
Yeah.
I mean, however they land, that would just be wow.
Well, and the exciting thing is that you kind of think if they were effective, which I can't imagine that anything wouldn't look effective after what we're coming out of, that the person who was vice president would go on to run a campaign and take the presidency, and that could happen.
It's very... Whoever's going to get in there, and I have to say this with a little bit of fairness to both sides, whoever's going to get in there, Republican or Democrat, is going to have a hell of a time just keeping things afloat.
Yeah.
And that's I've been on the lips of a couple of people I've talked to that they're not sure if they would want to see a woman go into this office because of what that position means they're going to have to deal with, or they would not want to see a black man go in the office because of that position. And just because of the nature of how bad things are right now, would that reflect negatively on them? Because I really truly believe economically and given everything that's going on in foreign countries with trade and with mass manufacturing, and China's a crazy fucking force to be reckoned with right now, it's going to take a lot to just keep us afloat, much less sail and sail proud and sail high and sail with some sort of vigor and sort of rejuvenate the nation. I don't think that's possible in the next 4 years economically.
Well, I think it's interesting because it's the great question, right, on the Democratic side is, do you want somebody who can inspire America? And if you inspire them and stuff doesn't happen quickly, how are they going to feel about that? Yeah. I think that is a tough thing for the Obama campaign. And then the other argument, you know, Hillary's argument is that... I mean, I think she wants to inspire people, and I think having a woman in the White House is change.
Sure.
But, you know, her platform is that I'm ready to go to work. Like, I know what it is, and I'm ready because I know
because I've been there, and I've seen
it. And a part of me, you know, that is the great argument for me between these two candidates is...
Ooh, I had so much trouble standing there looking at those black lines,
but
like, what am I going to do?
How fantastic is it that, I can just speak for myself, and I think you're expressing the same thing in that statement, that there's actually two candidates that I love.
Yes, absolutely.
You know? And for me, it's the big question of, like, one can mobilize America. Is that an excite and energize America? Is that enough to create the global and kind of governmental systemic change that we need? You know, or do we need someone who understands the Capitol Hill, understands that right now, whoever we have in office is who's going to have to affect this change, and whoever they appoint to the cabinet is going to have to affect this change. And it doesn't mean that as Americans, we don't then become workers among workers and we get on board with the program. But we're not biggest sacrificers in America anymore since about the Second World War.
Basically.
You know, we really don't like our life to change. We just want it to improve. Mm-hmm. And so part of me wonders, you know, is Clinton the better choice in that regard? Because, you know, I do think that she's, you know, she's got the experience behind her.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see. There's so much momentum from both camps. It's going to affect how close it is. It's going to energize both campaigns.
Sure, of course.
And I think it's doing the same thing to the Republican side. Like, you know, they're going to have to find some common ground because McCain was not the runaway hit winner. And, you know, it'll depend on what happens with Huckabee and Romney. I think they may be duking it out.
Did we talk? Have we talked since Rudy got out? I don't think we've talked since he got out.
I don't think we've talked, but what much needs to be said? I mean, we talked about the fact that he didn't, he put all his eggs in one basket.
Right, moral
in
of the story.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe we did talk since then. I can't remember.
You kind of got to spread it out. But we do have to say, you know, for at least us in Chicago, the weather didn't come until after Super Tuesday. But for my people, my heart people down in Memphis, Tennessee, I mean, there has just been so much devastation with the storms this week in Tennessee and in Kentucky, Arkansas. What was the other state?
Florida. Missing. Did you say Florida?
I didn't say Florida, but did Florida have a tornado touchdown too? Oh, so I mean, you know, all of these deaths, you know, Jackson, Tennessee is right outside of Memphis in this Hickory Ridge Mall that was hit, you know, is essentially in Memphis. Mm. Everybody I know in Memphis is okay, but I mean, definitely an amazing day of storms for them. And
we're just not even in the Twister time. This is not even supposed to be happening.
Well, it's weird
right
when
now.
I was calling my mom and she said, you know, it's 70 degrees here and I'm shoveling snow, and you go, something is going on with our climate. I mean, this is just wrong. And that created, as I know now from watching Twister Sisters, creating that Peter turned me on the Wii channel, the Women's Wii Entertainment, that, you know, creates this kind of front that happens with these enormous storm systems. But it's just fascinating that a tornado could start in outside of Memphis, west of what we call west of Memphis, which is kind of along the Mississippi River, and go and even across the Mississippi River, I guess, over in Arkansas, and then come just like straight across through the United States, because Tennessee is a long, narrow state, and just cut right through and head into Nashville and major, you know, big that's cities crazy, as opposed to the farmland out in that tornado, what do they call it, tornado trail or something that's out in the Dakota, you know, where we expect there to be tornadoes, like
tornado
Wyoming.
Tornado Alley, yeah. Yeah, Texas, it's usually to the left of Illinois, so it's usually more between
west of the Mississippi.
And to the right of Vegas.
Yeah, to the right of Vegas.
To the right of Vegas.
Vegas is sacred ground. Nothing's
touching down there. Well, it's too dry. Yeah. You can't get it's the storm desert. Systems. You can't get Nevada. You can't get what you would get. You get the dust devils, but you don't get the tornadoes.
Yeah.
The twisters don't happen up in there. So, you know, it's so strange, though, that this political election, and there's so much going on. And in the midst of all this noise, I celebrated my birthday.
You did celebrate your birthday.
Well,
I began
the birthday celebration because last year I decided it's my 30th frickin' birthday and I'm going to celebrate for 30 days. And this year I was like, why not? It was a good 30 days.
That's a good month.
A great run.
February's
Let's
a good month.
Let's do it for 31. Yeah. Why not? Let's see.
So you and I are heading out for some good nakedness this weekend.
We're going to go see the Chicago Takes Off. We're going to see Chicago Take Off a lot, actually.
Yeah, take off as much as they'll take.
Getting some comfort food at Stanley's because I think I need some meatloaf from Stanley's. Yum. I think I need some meatloaf and maybe a side of mac and cheese and some good and heavy like
some greens,
that.
Some okra.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if they'll have okra this time of year. That would be good, though. I would be down with the greens, though.
You'd be down with some greens?
I'd be down with some greens or some black-eyed peas. I'd be okay
How
with
are your
too.
30s now that you're settling into your 30s?
Full of change.
Yeah.
This is amazing. This last year, you know, 29 to 30 was so crazy busy.
Yeah.
30 to 31 was just even more of the same, and so many change in expanding my mind and my talents and my skills in the bedroom and out and all over the world. But I was very fortunate. I just got a promotion at work as well. So
you did.
I did, and it's pretty significant for being there. So I'm really happy about that, and I'm really
that's awesome.
Blessed that so many good things are happening. I'm just worried, though, because when the needle is too much in the green, the red is a calling, and some So I'm just
You an other shoe to drop kind of person?
No, I'm staying aware because I think that when everything is going really well, you have to stay really aware and a really focused on your goals, and you have to really pay attention to what's out there. So yeah, but it was good. And then, you know, we just had the Mardi Gras and a little hurricane, and it was good.
You had your own hurricane on Super Tuesday as opposed to a tornado.
Did you do any Super Bowl-ness?
You know, well, the Super Bowl, I really,
Did they get a lot of home runs?
I have to tell Terry of our office, you know, I think she was going to, she really wanted the Patriots to win.
Okay.
She had some sort of pool. I don't know what that really
Where
means,
are they
but
from?
Anyhow. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Boston, I think. Okay. Anyhow, but we were rooting in our house for the New York Giants on many levels. Underdog, Kelly being a New Yorker, and also Eli Manning being an Ole Miss kind of Southern boy.
Aww. They were green,
and the
don't
Manning
they?
Family. No, they're all red, white, and blue. Both teams, kind
oops,
of.
Okay. Who wears green? Maybe that's college.
Patriotic and New York Giants. But you obviously didn't watch it, but it was a really
brand screaming the other direction.
It was really a fantastic game.
Yeah. How was Paula?
I didn't see Paula. I didn't see any of the pre-show. I didn't
No,
see
she was halftime.
No, she wasn't halftime. She was pre-show. She and like Alicia Keys and some other people were pre-show. I didn't see that with Ryan Seacrest. I heard that was a crazy abomination. So I didn't watch that.
Shocking.
I was celebrating
I'm sure.
somebody's birthday. Somebody's 30th birthday, actually, that afternoon. Oh, but and then rushed home and Kelly had finished her show. And so we sat and watched it and had chili. And it just seemed really appropriate to just kind of watch the Super Bowl. But it was an amazing, amazing game. And I have to say, Bud Light.
Say it again.
Bud Light. Well, first of all, there was a great Bud Light bottle right in front of Peyton Manning, who's Eli. This will mean nothing to you, but who is Eli Manning's brother, who won. He's the quarterback for the Indiana Colts. He won the Super Bowl last year.
Oh, the one who gets balls between his legs.
He's been on Saturday Night Live. Yeah, very funny guy. And I've met Peyton in Tennessee. And so this is his baby brother. He was watching his baby brother from the booth or whatever. He was kind of there by himself, I think, just really focused watching his brother. And there was a big aluminum bottle of Bud Light in front of him.
Nice.
Of him. Nice placement. I just like the people at Bud Light to know that I asked him to put that bottle there. There's some free airtime for you.
And I live here and the check can come.
Exactly. Yeah. But Bud Light, you know, exactly. No, they already take care of us, keep us on the air. But honestly, you know, just the commercials, and there were two commercials that were standout commercials for me. And if you have not, if for some reason you missed Super Bowl, there are a couple commercials you should definitely check out. One was the Super Bowl Clydesdale. I guess it would be kind of called the Rocky ad. It was a horse, one of the, you know, the Clydesdale horses that pull the carriage, and the one horse didn't make the cut that year. And so the Dalmatian dog kind of looks up at him, and the horse kind of looks down at him, and then they start playing the Rocky music, and he's training and he's pulling stuff and he's, you know, and at the end he gets on, does the high five with the Dalmatian dog that was kind of his coach. What was that character on Rocky? You know, the little, not Sid Caesar. What's his name? The guy, him. Him. It was a really touching commercial. Makes you want to cry. Kelly and I had to watch it three times. She was like, oh,
TiVo, instant replay.
It was
again.
Really great. Again. And then the other funny commercial was, I believe, and this is awful because I should know the company because that's what they hope. But I think it was E-Trade. I'm pretty positive it was E-Trade. It was an E-Trade baby. And it was a baby like looking into the webcam on his laptop computer. And so you were seeing the image of the baby. But the baby was talking, but he sounded like a 25-year-old, you know, cyber kid. And he was like, yeah, man, you know, so I've scored all this dough and you know, I'm really trying to figure out what to do with it. And he's looking over his shoulder and he's talking about, you know, the stuff that he's bought, you know, like baby stuff. It's really hilarious. I mean, it's the funniest ad. So I can't remember the punchline right now because I'm too tired, but it was really so many yucks. That was a very funny, funny ad. So, you know, the ads came through. Bud always has a good one, but the E-Trade was really brilliant too with that baby. Just made me laugh.
Can I tell you what I did? I'll share real quick. And then we have a fantastic guest on the show.
We do have a great guest.
Freaking hysterical. But I want to share with you what I did on my birthday proper.
Yes.
Some birthday proper. You know, I went to work, had a little work, came back home, turned off all the phones. Turned off all the computers.
Oh God. What this is the Armageddon here happening. The apocalypse.
Turn the internets off. Yeah, I know, for once. I ordered a Giordano's stuffed spinach pizza and I had brought home with me a gallon of Moose Tracks ice cream.
Oh my God.
And I watched The Color Purple and Steel Magnolias. And I cried and ate pizza and ice cream and I cried and ate pizza and ice cream and I cried and ate pizza and ice cream and I cried and ate pizza and ice cream. It was the best fucking birthday ever. Can I tell you?
That is awesome.
It was just, I don't know why I never figured those two movies to be a good double feature before.
Steel Magnolias and The Color Purple. Well, it's kind of a Southern fare.
It's so good. It is. It's so good. And I mean, you know, of course, when she's coming back to church, woo, Waterworks, come on. And then, you know, just to see.
You mean when Miss Seeley's coming back to church? Yeah.
No. Suge Avery comes back to church
with her daddy's church.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And then I'm basically crying from that point on for the rest of the movie until, you know, Seeley, Nani, Mama Booney Booney. Yeah, whatever is going on with the African children. So that, and then just Steel Magnolias, nobody stands out brighter than anybody else. Just such an amazing ensemble. So it was so very gay and so very just delightful. And Julia Roberts dies and
Shelby needs juice.
Right. Juice is better, Shelby. And then, you know, of course, the magnificent Dolly on there, you know. Sugar laughter through tears is the best feeling in the world. And that was.
I could never get cast in Steel Magnolias. That was always my punchline. I'm like, why can't I get cast as a fucking Southern woman? I auditioned for that show.
In like 40 years, maybe.
No, when I auditioned, I was totally appropriate for Annelle or Shelby. And
but she'll be the Olympia Dukakis role.
Cast somebody
in 40
from Skokie, I'm sure, up here, you know? Like, oi.
lovely. But on the show today, speaking of hysterical women.
Very funny.
Just so brilliant. And for those of you who read Night Spots, the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
And you all should.
wonderful club magazine we have out there with the newly designed cover and all kinds of
And you can download it on
stuff.
The web, so you don't even have to be in Chicago to pick it up.
Com, it's right all over there. Jen Perello, the Dateland columnist, is on with us. She is so hysterical. Not only is she so hysterical, she's written a book called Dateland, which is sort of loosely tied to the column, but not really, with one
fiction.
Of the most fiction with one of the most entertaining lesbian stories I've ever seen. And it's so lesbian that I kept thinking, oh my God, this is this lesbian I know. This is that lesbian. I know this kind of lesbian. It's so brilliant. She defines the community. She makes fun of the community and she just enjoys life so much.
Well, she's
much
viciously smart. And I love that you read the whole book cover to cover and that you think it's so funny because I know a couple of other people specifically who, when I told that I was interviewing this, both of whom are male, who said, I love her column. I read her column all the time. Mm-hmm. And
gay boys love it.
And my family who gets the paper, you know, in Tennessee, they think she's hilarious too. So, I mean, it's not just funny for lesbians. I mean, she is just a very, very funny woman.
She's got the gift. She's
our own little Ellen DeGeneres, isn't she?
Basically. She's better.
She's better.
I have to say.
Yeah. She hasn't had that crazy crying spell over a dog yet.
She's sensitive about
it. And if she does, it'll be funnier.
Yeah. She'll write it so much better. Her writers will be better at doing all that. So we've got Jen Perello on the show. We've got some news for you.
Yeah.
And as always, we're telling you what's going on stage around town. So stick with us. We'll be back.
The first masterpiece from the legendary team of Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber. Jesus Christ Superstar, featuring Ted Neely, the star of the groundbreaking motion picture, and introducing Corey Glover of Living Color as Judas.
February 19th through 24th at the Cadillac Palace Theater. For tickets, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Jesus Christ Superstar, timeless and for our time.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
And for the week of February 4th, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
About-Face Theater presents the Tony Award-nominated play, The Little Dog Laughed. The Tribune calls this production hip, sharp, and funny. And the Sun-Times says it's the 2007's hottest gay play. Can a hot Hollywood actor keep his sexuality under wraps? The Little Dog Laughed is playing now through February 17th at the Hoover Leppin Theater at the Center on Halsted. Visit aboutfacetheater.com.
Writers Theater presents The Turn of the Screw from the story by Henry James. Time Out Chicago calls it surprisingly and creepily suggestive. An unsuspecting governess is hired to look after two seemingly innocent children who soon reveal terrifying secrets. The Sun-Times raves eerie as ever. Screw will mesmerize you. For tickets to The Turn of the Screw, go to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
The Tony Award-winning musical comedy favorite, La Cage aux Folles, is playing now at the Theater at the Center, conveniently located in nearby Munster, Indiana. The New York Post says this is Jerry Herman's best musical yet. Happier, more assertive, more buoyant than Hello Dolly or Mame. Don't miss La Cage aux Folles now. Call now, 219-836-3255 or visit theateratthecenter.com.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Rent is more than just something you pay.
Rent is more than just something that comes every month. More than something that you work for that's hanging over your head.
Rent is more than that.
Rent is joy.
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 Rent is feeling.
Rent is feeling.
Rent is 15 people
singing their hearts out, winning
your
heart
with their talent and grit and stories of love and survival.
Rent is more than a way to get by.
Rent is a way of life, a theatrical experience that will open your eyes, your ears,
your
heart.
Rent is more than a check in the mail.
Rent is a gut check.
A phenomenon. A show that won
every award and transformed how a generation feels about musicals,
about art and life and
love.
A show that changed Broadway forever.
A show that inspired a major motion picture.
And now it's
coming to you.
Rent is more than a word.
Rent is the word.
Sing it out loud.
See Rent.
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 Rent. Live.
Coming to the Cadillac Palace Theater February 12th through 17th. Now featuring South African Idol winner Heinz Winkler and American Idol finalist Anwar Robinson. For tickets, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
New York City officials are calling on 24 of the nation's largest companies to change their policies in order to end discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. The city has a $2.2 billion local pension investment with the two dozen companies, and the city's comptroller, William Thompson Jr., is asking them to amend their policies.
Indiana's Senate recently approved an anti-gay bill, 39-9, that would amend the state's constitution to ban same-sex marriage. The state's House will most likely reject the measure. The bill died in the House last year. Indiana already has a law that bans same-sex marriage.
Berlin announced that a new memorial to the gay victims of the Holocaust will be available within months. The new memorial will be near the memorial to the murdered Jews of Europe and will include a video presentation. It is estimated that tens of thousands of gays and lesbians were sent to concentration camps by the Nazis.
A transgender woman is seeking the Republican nomination for the Minnesota State Legislature. Chrissy Nikonski, who is running for state representative, would be the first trans individual elected to a state legislature in the United States. Nikonski recently told the local publication that she was inspired by Republican State Senator Paul Curring, the first openly gay member of Minnesota's state legislature.
A recent bill passed 35-5 by Kentucky State Senate bans domestic partner benefits to same-sex partners of employees at Kentucky's public universities and state agencies. Those in favor of the bill, which may or may not pass in the state house, say that providing such benefits goes against the state's constitution, which was amended to ban same-sex marriage in 2004.
A gay journalist has become the first openly gay editor appointed to a top position at a major daily U.S. newspaper. Randy Lovely of the Arizona Republic was promoted as vice president of news. He has been with the publication since 2002.
A female choir singer of a 7,000-member Black Baptist Washington church made waves when she decided to start her own outing campaign. The woman sent emails to the church pastor and members of the congregation, outing over 100 church members. Many of those she outed are male members of the choir. That's a big choir.
Yeah. Rock band Silverchair frontman Daniel Johns confronted an ongoing speculation about his sexuality during a recent concert. During Melbourne, Australia's Big Day Out concert festival, the rocker screamed, "I'm not effing gay," between songs while wearing a lacy garter on stage. Rumors spiked following John's recent announcement that he will split with his singer wife, Natalie Imbruglia.
And actress Alicia Cuthbert's rep denies U.S. Weekly's report that she was spotted making out with socialite Paris Hilton at the New York City club Tin June recently. Hilton has been spotted at lesbian clubs as well as a recent L Word premiere in the past few weeks, causing rumors and speculation to swirl. Both Cuthbert and Hilton appeared in the horror film House of Wax. And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
A land where the weary forever are free. Come, you sinners, and just follow me. Forget your troubles and just get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Sing hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. The sun is shining, come on, get happy. The Lord is waiting to take your hand. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. We're going to the promised land. We're heading across the river. Wash your sins away in the tide. It's all so peaceful on the other side. Forget your troubles and just get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day.
Nationally syndicated columnist Jennifer Perrello isn't just a talented writer. She's the kind of person whose turn of phrase can make you laugh so hard you'll project snot down the front of your shirt on a crowded Brown Line train with a frequency seldom seen outside of the insect kingdom. She's part of our family here at Windy City Media, and her hysterical column, Dateland, has run since about forever. I think it was 2002 when it began. But wait, there's more. She's written a book called Dateland that follows two best friends and law partners through the ups, downs, ins, and most definitely outs of life in the most humanly comic way possible. Jennifer Perrello, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hey, Jennifer. What a thrill to have you on as a part of our extended family with Night Spots Magazine every week.
Yay.
We love that.
It's almost too exciting.
Can you hear it? Can you hear it in the voice? So I want to know straight out, how did you become a writer? Because I'm always curious how people found their professions, because I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up.
It was pretty much an accident. I was in college and I was going to nurses school, and I was completely that was a career that was completely unsuited for me. I went to my first rotation, which was I went to go watch a surgery, and I freaked out. I mean, I literally flipped out, and I just ran out of the surgical theater and went right back to my dorm room, and I just picked up a course book and thought, what can I switch to that I could finish in 4 years?
Next.
And I picked journalism. So that's I kind of screamed my way into it. So I started off as a journalist.
So obviously journalism is a lot of reporting, and it's a lot of
investigating.
I was a very
bad journalist. I was really bad. I would make up quotes all the time.
It sounds like you had a lot of opinions. So probably that's not as objective as a journalist needs to be.
Yeah, it was, and I never thought people sounded the way they should. So I would always make up. stuff. And you really, when you're in a journalist, you shouldn't be doing that.
So you shouldn't. I
kind of figured that out, and then I went into the educational publishing world. But so I guess I've been a writer my whole career.
Mm-hmm. And how did you? I mean, you're
Jennifer learns from pain. This is what I'm learning. This is what I know from her columns, and this is what I know. She learns from pain.
I would be just waiting in fear for people to call up and say I didn't say that.
Yeah.
They usually liked how they said. You know, I made them sound funnier than they were. I tried to anyway.
So did the comic slant to your writing just come out of that sort of adding the color to what's going on? Because I have to tell you, I have done so many spit takes reading your column in a club. I can't even tell. It's embarrassing. My friends are like, are you reading her column again? They know what's going on.
No, my family gets subscriptions to all of our papers, and they comment about you. I mean, these are members of my family who are like,
yeah,
we love that Jennifer Perella. We think she's so funny, you know? And I'm like, what can you possibly understand about, you know, this lesbian? We thought that was so funny, her talking about her and her girlfriend, or that, you know, it was, you know,
that's
just
Amy's
all the time.
Aging parents in the South.
There you go.
Laughing at the lesbians. Yay. However that.
It's true, though.
You know, good. It's common ground to laugh at lesbians, I think.
No.
I'm glad it's bringing your families together.
It is bringing my family together, one column at a time. Thank you, Jennifer.
Right.
So let's talk about, before we discuss the book, Dateland, let's talk about this column. Tell listeners, like, describe your column for people who've never ever read it before, for people who should read it.
Well, I think I think it started in maybe 2002, 2003.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a column one day and sent it in to Suki Delacroix,
yes,
who was the managing editor at the time. It was called
Nightlines.
Nightlines,
yes.
Yeah. And he wrote back and he said, yeah, start writing columns. So then I had to actually think that I had to, you know, come up with a
keep
series
it up
of these. So, and I was in a relationship. I'm in the same relationship now, and it's a dating column. And so these, they're all fictitious because I'm in a relationship, and so I just make up these stories.
You make up shit. Come on.
They're actually, most of them are based on, you know, what my single life, but. That's what it's about. It's about dating. It's about the lesbian dating world. And like I said, I lie liberally throughout. I mean, one column I'll be out dating somebody, and the next column I'll talk about my partner. So I don't know if anybody has ever followed that.
Well, it's the amnesia that lesbians have every now and again. We have that kind of amnesia. Wait a minute.
As
a gay man, I understand that you lesbians batten the hatches down real fast.
Yeah.
So someone turns into a partner in about a day.
It's a real short leash.
Yeah, it's really.
So, I mean, I've always thought
from
that was
here
natural.
To eternity is what it is, really.
Like, she's got a real big deck of cards she's got going on
but
there.
But see, you write about the dating stuff in such a way that is, I just, every time I have to tell you this is the highest compliment I can give you, but honestly, it's starting from the lowest base point, which is that if the L word had like one finger of the body of your humor, it would be such a better show. It would be like, it would jump across mountains because just the point of view, the observation and the wit is really sharp and funny, you know?
That's very nice of you to say. We watch the L word every week.
You hate, but you watch, right?
I don't I get a kick out of it. I think, I think it's really inconsistent, but I think it's, I mean, there's no, we, my partner talks about it. She said, we have to stop watching the show. And I said, we can't.
This is what I said. My partner, I just said this a couple weeks ago, that my girlfriend looked at me on the couch after the first episode of this year. And she turned to me and she said, if this is not better written in three more episodes, promise me we turn it the fuck off.
Well, I mean, think it was just the fourth episode, right?
We haven't watched it yet. It's sitting in the queue in the TiVo. It's just so badly written.
It's the dynasty. It's the lesbian dynasty. There we go.
Yeah, but they were sharply funny written and written over the top, and they knew they were being written over the top. This is
no. They just had shoulder pads.
They need Jennifer. Well, maybe they need shoulder pads. We just need Shane to get new hair. We don't care. Just give us something, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I'm glad Helene is out of jail, because that was...
Oh, no, see, I like her. They've killed off all my favorite ones, Sarah, or moved them off, or, you know, run them off.
Yeah.
I have
Jenny. You know what we always comment on the L word is that there's absolutely no... there's no follow-through on story on cliffhangers. So
it's written so badly.
There'll be all these cliffhangers, and they'll start the show, and it's like this kind of community amnesia where all the cliffhangers are just miraculously resolved before, you know, like Jenny went off on the boat on that last episode.
It's called Writing 101, Continuity. Eileen Chaikin, take a class.
I'm wondering if they do it on purpose. They think it's funny now because Jenny went off on that boat, and they didn't even mention what happened. I think it's actually kind of funny, but maybe it's not intentionally funny. Maybe I'm giving it more credit.
I don't know. I think when you sit down to write, you have a different humor if you think that's funny.
enjoy it. So now this column, sort of this fictitious dating scene and in the community, and obviously you're relating stories from your own past, and probably, you know, if a friend whispers something cool in your ear, you know, I know how that goes as a writer.
Yeah.
But how did that evolve into this book, Dateland? Because this is really, you know, one paragraph ends, the next one begins. This is really a kind of chronology of a couple of friends together.
Well, so this was a couple years ago. Somebody read one of my columns. A publisher read a couple of my columns, and contacted me and asked me if I wanted to write a book on compile the columns into a book. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really want to do that. I didn't think. I couldn't see anybody buying a book of my columns. It just didn't make any sense. So I said, and then he said, well, would you like to try writing a novel? And I said, well, I'll try. You know, I'll write a first chapter and we'll see how it goes. So I wrote the first chapter and he liked it. So I just kept on writing. And while I was writing, that publisher actually went out of business.
So
I was about halfway through the book. And I thought, well, I'm going to finish it. You know, maybe somebody else will want it. So I finished the book, and I found a publisher. Actually, the first publisher I contacted.
Score.
Which, maybe in retrospect, wasn't the best idea to go with the first publisher, because my publisher I think has some emotional problems. He cries a lot.
That's your next
your
book.
Tears of laughter.
Every time I call him, I'm like, what, you know, how's the book doing? And he starts telling me about his love life and starts crying. And I never get an answer to how things are going. So anyway, but that was great. Cause it was great to just not have to think about it. And, you know, I did the edits pretty quickly and the book was published pretty quickly. So, it was all, you know, overall pretty good, pretty positive experience.
So tell us about the characters in the book, because it follows sort of as the back cover puts it, the romantic travails of Julia and Trisha. Tell us about them and what's going on with these two.
Well, it's about these two women, two best friends, Julia and Trisha.
Lesbians.
And Trisha is, she's loosely or... my friends say not loosely at all, very much based on a friend of mine, and who's a real character and who's also an attorney. So I was really kind of scared when it came out because I was scared she might sue.
Because she can.
I mean, all of her identify, her name's Sabrina, and I think she's probably going to be listening to this. So,
hi, Sabrina.
The Trisha character is kind of based on her. I mean, they share similar characteristics. Sabrina doesn't wear underwear either.
I know. I want to hang out with Sabrina now. Girl, send me an email. We'll hang out.
She's a lot of fun. Anyway, it follows. So they're best friends and law partners. And the book starts out where Julia has broken up with her girlfriend. Her girlfriend has left her for another woman, and she's depressed. And Trisha is determined to get her out of this depression and sets her up on a date with somebody else.
Claire.
And so she starts to come out of her depression. And in the meantime, she and Trisha have a case where they have to defend Julia's ex, the one who left her and made her depressed, because her toe has been crushed by a tow truck company that's based on Lincoln Towing. And
I was going to say that.
They sue me for that.
That is Lincoln Towing. Fuck Lincoln Towing. Okay, I'm just going to say that
right now. I really want them to know that I doubt anyone.
It's like Law and Order, you know, when you know the case that they're actually doing on Law and Order. I love it. It's like, oh, that's that case that da-da-da-da-da-da-da. This is the famous toe-crushing case from Lincoln Towing.
Right. And actually, that was kind of based on a real case where a tow truck, a Lincoln Towing truck,
awesome,
ran over somebody I knew. Anyway, and they're fine. But so they have to still deal with Julia's ex because they're bringing this tow case to trial. So in all of this, their friendship becomes jeopardized because Trisha's girlfriend breaks up with her, and Trisha blames it on Julia. And so they have a rift that damages both their law practice and their friendship. And Julia goes off and starts another relationship. And then she also plays competitive bridge, which is another storyline. I play bridge competitively, so I wanted to work in a bridge storyline, which I think probably nobody appreciated, but I needed to put bridge.
My mom will when she reads your book after reading your column. She'll appreciate the bridge through line.
So, and then at the end, of course, it's a happy ending. So.
Aww, that's.
But it's really a book about friendship, I guess.
So, you know, how seriously now we've been talking sort of a little bit and, you know, bits and pieces there. Is a lot of it made up or is just a lot of it history? And you're just saying, you know what? I know all these crazy, crazy people in my life. Let me just get this out of my head.
Inflate them and take them and put them on the page.
The finished product, it's very fictional. I mean, it's not the unedited version. There were a lot of true dating stories where I was kind of like, trying to get even with some exes, but I had to really cut it down. So I cut all those anecdotal stories out. I had a whole bunch of them in there that were very true. And I was really, they were kind of little revenge stories, but I had to cut them all out because I had to get the book down to
We got to slim this a little bit. Yeah.
Did you have writing influences or just like women in general? Or so there's so few gay women, I guess, unless you're taking people who are, from your own life that really you think influenced your point of view, influenced your humor and the way you see the world.
Well, I really like when I set out to write this, I'm not a literary writer. I wasn't going to be any type of competition to Shakespeare, but I really like entertaining novels that, you know, are smart. And I hope this one is, I think it's fun and it's entertaining. I hope it's kind of at least a little bit smart too. And that have really good, likable characters. And that's what I was shooting for. And one of my favorite gay novelists is Stephen McCulley. He wrote My Affection,
sure,
Man of the House. And I just love him because I just love his characters.
Yeah.
So of gay novelists, I would have to pick Stephen McCulley is being influenced. And then when I started looking in, and I don't want to, you know, trash anybody's writing, because anybody who sits down and writes a book I don't think should criticize them. I mean, it's pretty hard. But you guys can criticize me if you don't like the book. You could say that.
Oh, my God.
No,
are you
no.
kidding? I was serious about that snot at the top of the show. I'm serious.
Really,
I've snotted all over the brown line. It's
so
awesome.
I'm so happy that I made you do.
That can be his quote when you have the second printing. I think it should be Peter Maverick at the Windy City Queercast. I snotted on the brown line reading this book.
In front of a hot guy, damn it.
I hope that helped you. I mean, I think I know why you're single now.
Oh,
yeah. You can include, that's a new story for a new column. When we see the snotting guy on the train or the snotting lesbian, we'll know it's a story that you've derived from Peter Maverick.
Zing.
That's the thing I really miss about living in Chicago is that, you know, the amount of phlegm that's expelled in an average like bus or train ride.
Yeah.
I've seen so many disgusting things on public transportation. it's just like it's riding in a virus, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it basically, you're riding in someone's nose or orifice when you're on anything.
You're in somebody's cavity of some sort, orifice.
I'm not kidding. One time I was riding on the L and this person took off a shoe and a sock and he cut his toenails.
Oh, my God.
Right next to me on the L. I couldn't believe it. I mean, that I think was the worst ever.
Was there shrapnel flying everywhere?
And he looked like a totally normal guy. Yeah.
There's a phobia.
That's how they look. They look like totally normal people, those crazy people.
So, you know, your column and your book, they're so first-person narratives of all different facets of life. When you see something, do you have like a little notepad and you scribble it down, or does it all like stick in your craw?
No, usually I write the column about 2 hours before it's due. So right now, because I commute now into the city, I have a 2-hour train ride into the city. And so I always tell myself, okay, I'm going to write it. It's due on a Monday. So I think, okay, I'm going to write it this weekend. I'm going to really spend some time on it. I'm going to make it good. And then it gets to be Monday and it's 5 a.m. I'm on the train and I just, what am I going to write about? And I just make myself stare at the computer until I think of something. So,
oh, look, some genius. Man in toenails. Let's go.
Genius. Right.
And luckily I had a lot of friends who've had very promiscuous past, so a lot of times and I'm a terrible gossip, so I just turn whatever they have to say and sometimes I co-opt it and pretend.
Oh, I couldn't. Oh, I couldn't tell you were a terrible gossip. Yeah. No, I couldn't tell that at all. Not from any of your columns. Oh, pshaw. So I was just tooling around on your website today, mm-hmm. and I think it's amazing because for folks who haven't picked up the book yet, you have, what is it? Is it the whole first chapter or is it?
The first chapter.
So you can check out the first chapter of the book, Dateland. It's on the website, jenniferparello.com. And if you are so inclined and you want to see her smiling face and have a glass of wine at Women and Children First, that's 5233 North Clark Street, on February 15th, which will be the day after Valentine's Day. So while you're still hungover and you need the hair of the dog, because if you're single like me, you're going to be hungover. If you need the hair of the dog on the 15th, have a glass of wine at 7:30 at Women and Children
First. Be civilized.
Get your book signed by
Jennifer. Girl or your boy, or go find a girl or boy.
And please clip your toenails before arriving.
Before arriving. And blow your nose, please, because Peter will be in proximity.
Can I make one plug for
Women's
Children First? Of course.
Plug as much as you like.
I just, what's happening in the publishing industry, anyone listening to this, please support your independent bookstores. Mm-hmm. They've meant so much to so many people over the years, and they're really, you know, so many of them are struggling against these huge chains. So even if you can't make it to my event, please visit your local bookstore. Women and Children First is one of the best, and it's meant a lot to me and I'm sure Amy. I mean, any Chicago lesbian, Women and Children First has really been.
I was just in there last week spending some dollars. I try to go in there and buy birthday presents gifts for people. I really try to support that store. Also because I live in the hood. I live in Edgewater, just north of the Strip. But
And if you don't,
it's good
to have
those businesses do well.
Absolutely.
You know?
And if you don't have a bookstore nearby you that is sort of an independently owned gay or lesbian,
because people
bookstore,
are listening to this all over the
all
country,
over the, you all, can, all over the world, actually,
all over the world.
You can go to womenandchildrenfirst.com, and I'm staring right at the add to shopping cart button for your book.
That's right.
Carrella,
yes, you can shop. Right there. You can get it right online.
So you can get it right from them, right online, delivered to your door. You don't even have to leave the house.
It's such
That's
a great
so
book,
perfect.
And it's a great book for friends. So, you know, if you do have birthday gifts coming up or a great Valentine's Day gift you want to give somebody, this is a fun,
and my only caveat is going to be keep the tissue close because you're just the snot
from
is
the
gonna
laughing.
Come. It's going to happen.
It's going to be good. And of course, people can read your column now. Night Spots is downloadable on our website. So you can go to WindyCityMediaGroup.com, go to WindyCityTimes.com. It'll take you to all our products. Maybe you're listening to our show that way, or you listen to what our theater listings are going to be, or more of our news. Mm-hmm. But you can also see Jennifer's column there in Night Spots.
In
so
Night Spots.
Don't miss it. Jennifer, thank you so much for being on with us.
Thank you.
And all the best with the book, and we'll wait with anticipation for the next one.
Great. Thanks, guys.
All right.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.